So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another awesome episode of Cashflow Dad Life. I'm your host, Ryan Ank, and I've got a special guest on with us today, Mr. Brian Grignon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
I invited Brian on because his story is pretty inspiring. He, like many of you, are starting out in real estate. And, you know, one of the biggest things in real estate is actually taking action. I talk about it in my book, the 7-day blueprint. I'm trying to remember the name of my own book, the 7-day real estate survival blueprint. I talk about just taking action as being like one of the biggest catalysts to actually making sure you have a check in your hand. And the reason that I have Brian on the show is because Brian, you know, came from a similar background with his first deal and, you know, struggled with a lot of what people struggle with, like analysis paralysis, you know, the certain fear. And also just, you know, making the thought of real estate and the idea of, yeah, I could probably do this, become a reality and make it a reality by taking action. And when he did it, I don't want to give away the total number. I'll let Brian do that. But when he finally did that, he was rewarded pretty handedly with his first check with real estate. So from going from zero experience to cashing in on a pretty big check. So Brian, if you would, can you share a little bit about your backstory before you got started in real estate? What was going on in your life and what made you decide to try it out?
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. So I don't like many people. I have a 9-to-5 job. I still have one, actually. So and, you know, you get kind of stuck. And you feel like I needed something else. You know, I just like you, I have lots of kids. I have 4, at the time I had 4, I now have 5. And I wanted to be able to do something. I wanted to be able to feel like I had sort of control over my own destiny a little bit of freedom. And so I think actually I was speaking to you one day and I said, you know, I'm not sure what to do. Well, have you tried real estate? And I'm like, I don't know about that. But you know, that kind of ruminated. I remember one day.
What was making you so hesitant about real estate?
I always liked real estate. I always liked seeing the houses that were on the market, and I was constantly looking at those types of things. But what I didn't know, I just didn't know enough, right? And I'm an IT guy, right? So I got to know information. I have to understand how things work. And I just didn't have that information. So I'm like, well, I don't see an end. I don't understand the beginning. I don't understand the end. And so I actually. It's funny, I started reading, I started doing some research, Bigger Pockets, those types of things, read a couple of books. And, you know, everybody reads Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and they want to go change the world. And it's great. And it's a great primer to get started. But, you know, to me, I needed actionable steps. But I remember one day I went to a soccer game for one of my kids. And I was sitting there next to a friend. And right across the street from the park, there is an abandoned house, basically. It was cute little house. It was, you know, like a ranch, just 2 or 3-bedroom ranch, you know, perfect. We could flip the house. And so we tried to find the owner. We did some research and, you know, as I'm doing this research, just trying to find, I'm learning, you know, I'm gaining some perspective, gaining some understanding about tools and about, you know, how to find things. And, you know, you get more confident the more you do it. And mm-hmm. So we tried, we tried to make an offer. I found the woman. I went to her house or the mother's house. Long, crazy story. Anyway, and ended up going into foreclosure. Fine. We ended up not working with that deal, but it started up this kind of fire. And I started talking to the same friend of mine about doing this as a business. And he was quite interested in it too. He was pretty upset with his job. But so we said, you know, maybe we should just look for a rental. So then we started going, okay, we'll do rentals, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then it got to this analysis paralysis, like you said. Well, was it going to worth it? Is it money? Could we find it? What's listed? And we realized, you know, looking at houses that are listed on the MLS, it's not really going to be the best way for us to make money. And we didn't know where else to look.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a brief break from the show to remind you that if you haven't yet gotten your copy of my newest book, The 7-Day Real Estate Survival Blueprint, How to Create $10,000 Out of Nothing in Less Than a Month, then what are you waiting for? The book is available on Amazon for $19, but if you are a listener of this podcast, you can get it absolutely for free. All you have to do is cover the shipping charges, which is less than an extra value meal at McDonald's. So you could get fatter, or you could invest in an incredible amount of wisdom and a step-by-step blueprint. I cover by the hour exactly what I would do for the next 7 days to make sure that I have $10,000 in my pocket in less than a month by investing in real estate, starting with nothing. Say you have no money, okay, and no experience. So the book is amazing, and if you want to get it for free, it's cashflowdadlife.com/7, okay? And then you can get it there and just cover the shipping costs. All right, guys, back to the show.
We didn't know where else to look. And right. So we got hooked up with a realtor who works with investors. And so I had a nice meeting and a nice lunch, took this guy out for lunch. And he and I sat and we chatted about what I wanted to do. And he said, look, let me help you. Let me see if I can help you. Maybe we can find a property together. Maybe I can find you something. He's like, he had his own way of marketing and finding distressed properties. And he said, if I find something, maybe we can work together. And I said, sure, that would be great. And so, again, I was just building my network. I found these real estate investing group. So I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And anybody that knows the typical Lancaster knows that there's Amish involved. And, and so I found this real estate investing group. Yeah, here, you'll laugh. This gets better. I found this real estate investing group. And I started meeting these people. I started meeting people from all walks of life who are doing real estate. And this guy, this realtor that was working with at the time, I actually brought him to me. I said, you got to check this out. I said, oh, this is great. About a week later, he gives me a call. He says, hey, Brian, I got this property. I know it's not in Lancaster. It was in a neighboring county, about 45 minutes away. He's like, you got to come see it. Like, this guy's hot to trot and sell. Great. So I went and looked at it. And he and I talked. And the deal originally was that I was going to purchase the property. I was going to renovate it, flip it. And he was going to get the listing on the back end, right? Everybody was going to be happy. We had a little nice little deal worked out. So he was willing to take less from the seller's commission at the bottom, when he was selling from the commission, so that he would get the full commission at the higher, ARV once it was, ready to sell. It's great. So I get this property, I get it under contract, and I am stressed. And it wasn't even that much money, right? It was like 100. I got it. It's a good size house. It's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house. It was in a really desirable area. I did all my research. I said, yeah, let's go. I just said, screw it. I'm just going to go.
So you had a screw it moment where you're like,
yeah, I had to, I was like, and I kind of operate like that sometimes. Like, I get to a point where I'm like, yeah, I've got enough information. Just go. And right. So that's really what happened. My brain said, you know what, just go for it. And so I did. I signed the contract. I can remember the numbers actually. I signed the contract for $140,000. And I decided I was going to buy the property. So I did the same thing that a homeowner would do. I had a home inspection. I had a septic inspection because it had a septic tank. And I found out that the leach field was bad. I found out it needed a whole new septic system after I'd already written the contract. So I said to my friend who was the realtor, I said, look, it needs a new septic. We got to go back. I need $25,000 more. And he came back and he was willing to give me $20,000 off. So now I got a contract at $120,000. I did the look. I think the ARV was like 360. So I was like, man, this is great. I'm going to make a ton of money. And then I was like, wait, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I didn't have the cash, right? I had enough to put a deposit down, but I wasn't, I wasn't flush with $120,000. Right. So then I started looking for hard money loans. I think I contacted you at one point. And you're like, oh yeah, just look at these websites. I started talking to this one guy and he wanted like all sorts of information. And it just felt really shady. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to lose $1,000. Maybe it's a lesson learned. Maybe I'm not going to do this. And I happened to turn on this Bigger Pockets podcast on the way home the day I made a decision I wasn't going to do it. And they were talking about wholesaling. And I was like, you know what? I've been doing wholesale. And so I called the realtor and I said, look, I think I'm going to try and wholesale the house. And he was not happy. again, remember, he was going to get the contract on the back end to sell the house. He was going to get his, you know, he was going to get his commission on the sale of the house. So he wasn't really getting a huge commission on the sale to me. He was going to get the commission on the sale to the buyer. And I said, look, I promise I'll make you whole. Let me just see what I can do. But I wanted to run it by you first. He's like, all right, fine. Why don't you see what you can do? So that night was actually one of the meeting nights. I put this packet together. Like, I know what I was doing. I had two pictures of the house that I had taken. And I found some comps and I put a packet together. And I brought 15 copies with me to this real estate investment meeting. And never talked to anybody really in this meeting. Never really, you know, made my presence known. I'd met a couple of people, but just kind of was sitting in the back. And at the end of the meeting, they always say, if anybody's got any deals, you know, now's the time. So I was the first one to stand up. I was like, hey, I've got this deal. I want to sell it for $165,000. It's got a $350,000 ARV. It needs approximately $100,000 worth of work. It's in this area. Who's interested? Like 10 people. So I handed them all out. And this one Amish guy looks at me. He goes, I really like this. It's winter. It's just before Christmas. I said, well, you know, when would you like to see it? He's like, well, can you take me to see it tomorrow? I can't drive. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. So so I took a half a day off of work. Yeah. I picked the Amish guy at his farm, nicest guy in the world. Drove him to the house. And as I'm driving to the house, I get another call from another investor that was at the meeting. And she says, well, can I meet you there? I'd like to see it too. So I ended up having two investors come and look at the house at the same time. They were there together. They knew each other, actually, because they were in the same, you know, real estate investing group.
Right.
And it was surreal to me that this was actually happening. This could actually work. No way this could actually work. So I had them walk through. I basically told them, I was like, I had the house listed for one, or I had bought the house for 120. I said, I want 165. And we walked to the end, walked to the driveway. The two of them were standing there, and the Amish guy looks at me and goes, I'll take it for 160. And the woman that was standing next to me said, yeah, I have to think about it. I said, okay, well, 165 it is. And I walked away. We drove back to his house that night, and by the light of a lantern at his house, he wrote up a contract, and he signed the contract. And I called my realtor the next day, and I said, "Look, I'm going to make $45,000 on this property. I'll give you $8,000." And he was ecstatic. So at the end of the day, instead of making $45,000, I ended up with, you know, what, $38,000 that I netted from this one property. And it just started, it's like, well, if I can do $38,000, I can do this all the time. Right now.
Right.
Now that for all your listeners and for everyone else, that is not a typical situation. That doesn't always happen. And none of my deals since then have ever been that large. But what it allowed me to do, and I think, Ryan, what I think is the most important thing, is it allowed me to know that there's always more than one way to do a deal. There's always another option out there. You can always go back to the buyer. The seller, excuse me, and say, you know what, this isn't going to work for me. Can we make something else that's going to work? Just because you made an offer and they accepted that offer doesn't mean that a couple weeks later, when things change or circumstances change, or you didn't understand your ARV, or you really don't understand the demand, that you can't go back to them and go.
Yeah.
I mean, I put a $500 deposit down. Worst comes to worst, I was going to lose $500.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's not great. Let's be honest. Yeah. We're all in it to make money, right? But right. I think what we forget is everybody that we're interacting with is human too, right? And everybody has their own desire to make this work. And so it's not it is a competitive thing, but it's not a competitive thing. It can be a co-working thing where you can figure out how to actually work a deal. And just remember, these are people like you, right? They're not some bad people. They're not some difficult people to deal with. They understand situations. They understand things change. And right. So you can always go back and make a change. You can always take a property and do something different. I could have bought that. I could have renovated it. I could have sold it. I didn't have the time. I had four kids. I had a full-time job. It was 45 minutes from my house. Do I really want to go find out if my subs are there at, you know, on January 15th when it's 4 degrees out? And I don't want to deal with that. Right. I wanted somebody else to deal with it. So I was willing to take a little less money. Obviously, I would have made more if I had flipped the house myself. But I looked at the money, I was like, well, 45 grand is not so bad, right? It's not such a bad way to start. And it really inspired me to keep going. I've done a bunch of other deals. I do probates. And then, you know, I took a new job a couple years ago and I realized I just didn't have a whole lot of time to keep doing this. And that's okay. I like a full-time job too. I'm one of those weird people, right? So
you're one of those weird people where you got to keep on, you got to keep busy. Like
I do. I have, you
know, like, retirement is not like,
well, I'll retire. I mean, and I'll retire. Don't get me wrong. But when I retire, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go do something fun for me. Right. But it's not about, you know, so I had to reinvent myself again because I didn't have the time. So now what I do is I do some coaching for some younger folks that want to get into the business. They call me and we talk through some things, and I do some lead generation because I'm from IT. So I've built some programs that go out and find leads and scrape and do some other fun stuff. So even though I'm not necessarily doing deals, I still have an operating business because it's fun. And I learned and learned. I keep learning and I keep evolving and changing, much like you, right? I mean, you're not doing just the same things you were doing when I spoke 3-4 years ago. You know, you've expanded. You're writing books. You're doing these things. Everybody can evolve. It's you got, but to start, you got to get started, right? You got to get over that hump of that fear of, this might not work, to get to a point where you're like, this works. Now what else can work? Now what else can work? How can I make it really what I want?
You know, what's funny is, you know, a lot of people that they think, you know, I can make so much money with real estate. Let me get started. And then they get started the same way that you did. And they see this opportunity. They're like, that house across the field.
Yeah.
That is, I'm going to make so much money. And then they go to sleep that night and they dream about the checks. And then they get up the next day and then it falls through and they think, crap, this thing doesn't work, you know? But what's interesting about your situation is you didn't hit a grand slam on your first try. In fact, you didn't get the deal, you know?
We didn't get the deal I didn't get the deal on three other deals before this one. Brevity, obviously, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I lost the first three deals I tried to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't lose any money. So really at that point it was like, let's try it. Let's keep going.
Yeah. You're honing in your skills, you're finessing your talents and you're analyzing stuff. And then you finally had an opportunity where you could pull the trigger and you had that screw it moment and that ended up paying you, you know, a little under $40,000. So that's
right. And you know, I liken it to a kid learning to walk, right? You know, they fall how many times before they actually walk across the room? And even after they learn to walk, they run into stuff, they fall over all the time. You know, you're going to do that, but eventually you get stronger, you know, you build that muscle, you figure that out, and you're able to have that confidence. I think really the key is getting that first deal done builds so much confidence and really makes it positive that you have to keep in your mind that I'm going to get this deal done. I have no choice. Not that I have no choice, but I'm going to get it done. And if it doesn't work out, well, that's okay. That wasn't the right deal. I'll find another.
Yeah. It's kind of a burn the boats mentality.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like that analogy.
That's one of my favorites.
I have an executive I know that love that mentality. But it's the don't be afraid. And you know, if it didn't work out, there's always another one, right? There's always more deals out there. There's always real estate. So.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. I mean, I hope that you guys listening are inspired by that. You know, Brian, you know, I've known him for a while and he's a smart guy, but at the same time, you know, like you said, you're from the ITT background. You can get into that analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And he's, believe me, he's just a regular dude like you and I. And if he can do it, you can do it. It's just a matter of getting out there and taking action. Might not be the first deal, second, third or fourth deal, but one will eventually fall through. It's a numbers game. So thanks again, Brian, for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Take care, bud.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.